Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Mark with Pastor Dave. In the midst of the pandemic, Pastor Dave began the book of Mark, and it couldn't have come at a better time. Amidst a world full of confusion and turmoil, the book of Mark centers us on the hope of the gospel. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave as we begin the book of Mark.
If you have a Bible with you, let's turn it open to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. I feel like the Holy Spirit put this heavily on my heart yesterday just to go to the Gospel. I think it was all God's providence that we finished last week as a congregation bodily here together, the book of 1 Chronicles. And typically on Wednesday evenings, we would go right to the next book, which would be 2 Chronicles. But I just felt like in the midst of all of this COVID-19, you know, buzz, it was just so important for us as the church to get caught up with Jesus. And for me, there's no better place to go to do that than the Gospels. I just ended studying the book of Revelation on my own and my own devotional, just finishing the Bible again. And I was praying before I made this decision corporately where the Lord would have me to go. And I felt like he put on my heart to go to the Gospel of John. And I'm only a few chapters in my own devotions, but I can't tell you what it's done for my soul, just reacquainting myself with the gospel truths of the nature of Jesus, the person of Jesus, and just sort of seeking to fall in love with him in the midst of all this chaos. So I hope the same effect is had from our study congregationally in the Gospel of Mark. So let's read these opening 8 verses. I don't think that we'll have time to make past those verses tonight. So let's read them collectively, we'll pray, and we'll ask the Holy Spirit just to fall on our study here of God's Word. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning here in verse 1, he says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets," and he quotes Malachi here, he says, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare the way before thee." And he quotes Isaiah in verse 3, and he says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." And then the tenses here for that last part of verse 3 is continually be making his paths straight. Then it tells us in verse 4 here of Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, "John did baptize in the wilderness, and he preached the baptism of repentance for," or better translated, "unto the remission of sins. And there went out unto him," it says in verse 5, "there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and they were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan." Notice what it says here, "confessing their sins." And John, he was a rad dude. He was clothed with camel's hair, with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and he preached to the multitude. Scholars say that there were upward of over 1 million people that John was able to reach in his ministry, and over half of those people were baptized by him. So you imagine the scene, you imagine the crowd, you imagine this man from the wilderness crying out. That's the tone that he spoke with. He had a message that he was saying that came from God. He's a heralder on behalf of God, filled with the Spirit from birth, filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. He comes out filled, alive unto God with the Holy Ghost, and he cries out with this great passion to the multitudes of people Everyone's coming from the city, from the suburbs. They're gathering around him. The Lord is bringing them to his messenger, his heralder, his forerunner. And it says that he says in verse 7, there cometh one mightier than I. That's a good word for us tonight. There is one that is stronger than I. There is one that a force to be reckoned with, if you would. One who is more violent. One who is more firm. One who is more able. Our strong God. It's a great way to think of him tonight. In the midst of all of this news that we're bombarded with, just how overwhelming it is to all of us. It is so encouraging just to delight ourselves in the Lord, to open his word, and to remind ourselves that he is the mighty God. And I know if you were here tonight, you'd shout me down with a bunch of amens right now, because I know it stirs our souls, our spirits are ignited with this truth that he is a strong God. John had it right here. He says of his younger cousin, he says, he is one that is mightier than I. He's coming after me. It's the latchet of his shoe. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And we'll talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in next week's study, should the Lord tarry. So let's just pray and ask the Lord to bless his word. God, we thank you for your just provision for your word in the midst of the storm, God, in the midst of the chaos. Lord, in the midst of everything else that surrounds us, you've given us your word. You've preserved your written, inerrant, inspired word. And it's everything, God, that we need to get through, to navigate through this life. And right now, Lord, I think the most of us are feeling a little lost. Maybe like we're teetering a little bit, God. Overwhelmed, exasperated, Lord. And maybe we feel like we've sort of lost our way. We've lost our step. Maybe a bit of direction here. But Lord, we are anchored by your word. And we ask you tonight, Lord, to further establish us in your truths. You've given us everything that we need that is profitable for us to live a life of godliness, Lord. You've given us the basic instructions before leaving earth that are necessary for us. So we're asking you, Holy Spirit, as you are the author of all of these 66 books, we are asking you as the one who had moved on these men's hearts to pen these words to the page, we're asking you to move on our hearts tonight. Wherever, Lord, your church finds herself, wherever your people are gathered in family rooms, in living rooms, in dens, in offices, Lord, wherever the space is that they are, God, even us here in this space, God, we pray that you'd inhabit those places and that you would draw us close to you, give us ears to your hearts to receive, and Lord, only what you want my mouth to speak, Lord, I pray would come forth. Whatever I've studied, God, whatever I've prepared that's not from you, Lord, let it be forgotten now. And everything that is of you, fill me, Lord, so that I can speak forth, Lord, with the power of your might. We give you this time, Lord. We love you, and we pray, Lord, that you would bless all of those from our congregation who are doctors and nurses, medical workers, Lord. We pray for our government, our officials, our leaders, God, our president, our governor. We commit them to you, God. We commit our country to you. Lord, we pray that you would awaken your church and draw, Lord, many to yourself through this process of time. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So we're in Mark's gospel, and I've been wanting to teach Mark's gospel for some time. I'm drawn to this gospel specifically because I really like the way that Mark sort of puts this thing together, of course, inspired by God's Spirit. He's like a photographer. He gives us a bunch of pictures rapidly. His favorite word that he'll employ here through his gospel is straightway, if you're using the King James, or immediately, depending on your translation. He uses the conjunction and over and over again. He'll tell you a scene or a story, and more than giving you a bunch of verbiage on the story, he'll just sort of connect the next thought with an and then he'll use the adverb now. Those words combined over 1,300 times. So he's real rapid. He's real fast-paced. He takes you to certain scenes and stories of the life of Jesus where you want him to sort of develop those thoughts and truths a little bit more, but that's not the intent here of the Holy Spirit behind Mark's penning this gospel. We go to Matthew and we go to Luke and to John to find the missing details. There are also unique treasures and beauties found in this gospel that are specific just to Mark's writing. And so there are things that we'll see here that will be insightful and helpful to us in learning and understanding further the life of Jesus. Mark was not an adult, if you would, the way that we would deem an adult to be by age while Christ was walking this earth. Not an apostle. We know that he was a younger man, probably born 12 to 15 years after Jesus was. And the only place that he'll show up in this gospel is in Mark chapter 14, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane being arrested. And he's there, it seems, at least it appears to be him. And he is sort of grabbed by one of the officers there, his cloak, and he has it pulled off of him, and he's sort of naked, and he runs away in fear for what's happening to Jesus. Most likely, the recording here of Mark is the testimony of Peter. Peter will call himself the father in the faith of this person here who writes this gospel. So we'll develop more who he is and what the Lord wants us to know of him as we move through this beautiful portion of Scripture. And we'll do that as the Holy Spirit leads us in our journey through. But I just want to sort of move through this expositionally with you tonight. And I want to draw to you, your attention, even how Mark begins. Very uniquely, how he begins compared to the other gospel writers. Three times in Scripture, there is this "in the beginning" stated. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's, of course, one that most of us know. And John's gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." Another beginning statement that's developed there. But then here in Mark's gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, his beginning is a little different. He's writing to the Romans, most likely with Paul at the end of his life, writing to those in Rome, knowing their style of learning. They're not interested in all these details and information. He's giving it to them the way that they would learn, with pictures and just sort of these illustrations to develop their thoughts on who Jesus is. And right away, what comes to his mind, inspired by the Spirit, of course, is the gospel. He says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ." No genealogy. The other gospels will do that for us. No connecting scripture to the Old Testament of who Jesus is. Matthew would do that for us, as his primary audience were Jewish people. But rather, he just gets right to it as he's writing to a pagan culture. And he says to these people in Rome, "The beginning of the good news, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ." And I personally couldn't help myself from being encouraged and drawing strength from this opening phrase. Just the good news, the heralding of glad tidings. This past week has made it feel like it's been a really long time since there's been glad tidings or good news that's been given. The last 6 or 7 days, in fact, it was about a week ago, today now, when we were leaving Bible study last Wednesday evening, that news broke that there was this first diagnosis of the coronavirus in Monroe County. And at first it was a thing of, well, it's only one person. It doesn't seem too severe. It didn't feel like what other parts of the country or even downstate here in New York was feeling. It just felt like, okay, this isn't too severe. We're okay. And then from Wednesday evening to Thursday morning, things just drastically, you know, sort of went in a downward spiral. And ever since then, Thursday of last week, 6, almost 7 days ago, it just feels like we've been barraged, bombarded with bad news. Bad news after bad news after bad news. More sickness, more uncertainty, more cases of the virus, obviously up to 19 as of the 5 o'clock news before service tonight. A death yesterday, people hospitalized, the county concerned that we have enough hospital beds, entertaining the idea of motels and hotels being converted into places of quarantine. And there's just all of this news, constant press conferences with the governor and with the president, and they're doing a great job. We pray for our leaders. We're thankful for our leaders. We love our leaders. But all we're receiving really is either uncertain news or bad news. It's just uncertain news and bad news. And I'm sure for those of you who are viewing online right now, the many of you have tuned in because you're sick of bad news. There's no March Madness starting tomorrow. There's no sports on for your entertainment. There's only so many sitcoms that you can watch. And the news is just getting old. It's wearing on us. It's taking its toll. At least it is on me. I can't help myself. I'm constantly checking my Twitter feed and trying to stay current with what's going on, as I have so much responsibility for the flock here and the staff. And the Lord just refreshed me in his word today. And I pray that he refreshes you now in your family room, in your living room, wherever you are streaming this study of God's word. So many other things we could have gathered to do tonight, interviews and devotional type style talks or whatever it would be, but nothing compares to just opening God's word and asking God's spirit to fall on it as he is doing now and as he always does. And he wants to speak to us a word in season tonight. There is good news. There is great news. Anglo-Saxon is really great, where we get this word from, even the Greek derivative from the Anglo-Saxon. It speaks of greater than good. It's a spectacular news that's attached to the God-man, Jesus Christ. And it's no wonder that Mark, who's also called John Mark, as you study scripture, he's surnamed Mark, but John Mark, it's no wonder that he is thinking of this as he begins to pen this gospel. He's most likely with Paul in Rome. Paul's at the end of his life. And Paul would write to the church in Rome previously to Mark writing this gospel here in Romans 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, the great news of Jesus Christ. For it has, the gospel, the power unto salvation for all those who would believe. It's for everybody. And I'm thinking as Mark is writing these things, filled with God's Spirit, he's being overwhelmed because he is a recipient of God's grace. If you're not familiar with this man, he shows up in the book of Acts. His name is mentioned in Colossians and Philemon. His name is mentioned by Paul and Timothy. But where he goes wrong is in the beginning of his spiritual career, if you would. Where he goes wrong is in the middle of the book of Acts, where he really becomes known by so many as the unfaithful servant. He's a man who is related to a guy that God was using greatly alongside of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was no slouch. The Apostle Paul was militant in the faith. He was hardcore. And he was paired up with who would be Mark's uncle Barnabas. And there's this tagging along with Barnabas and Paul of John Mark in a missionary journey. He's a younger guy, I've already stated that. He goes with these guys, Paul being the zealot for the Lord, just on fire for the Lord, being used by the Lord to turn the world upside down for the glory of God. And as he's on this journey, something happens, we don't have the details, where it causes John Mark to flee from Paul and Barnabas and to go back home to his mama. The Bible doesn't say that, but it would tell us as we move through that his mother would be a wealthy woman who would own a home in Jerusalem where the church would meet and congregate in the New Testament times. Many believe that it was her home that had the upper room that housed the apostles and Mary, the mother of Jesus, at Pentecost. So it's interesting what he comes from, wealth, of course. And perhaps that played into the whole reasoning for him leaving and going back home. Maybe it was too hard for him. Maybe it was too intense. Maybe the warfare was too difficult in following Jesus the way that Paul was following Jesus. And he leaves. And by so many of man's standards, he fails. He blunders greatly. He blows it. So much so that after he does this, Barnabas says to Paul, hey, let's take us on the next journey. And Paul says, yeah, right. I'm not taking him with you. He's a pansy, you know, in so many of words, of course. Yeah, I'm not taking him. It's not going to happen. And there's this contention so much with the son of consolation, Barnabas. If you've got contention with Barnabas, you know it's a hot topic. So much so that Paul takes Silas and he goes his way. And Barnabas pairs up with his nephew, John Mark, whose mom was his sister. And they go their way. So here's a guy who's writing some 20 years or so after that experience. It's the oldest gospel. It's the first gospel to be written. It's also the first gospel that Wycliffe translates because of its power and impact and brevity when they translate the scripture. And here he is sitting down, not copying from anybody else, not trying to be near to what's already been written, but sitting there with the Holy Spirit and, I believe, his mentor, his father in the faith, who's also been a failure, Peter. And he says, oh, the good news of Jesus Christ. The Roman Empire, not a lot of good news. Hates Christians so much that Peter has to refer to Rome as Babylon in his epistle. He had to disguise what he was speaking of because the persecution was so strong and hot towards Christians. I mean, they were hated. They were being forced to renounce their faith. But he sits there and he says, man, in the midst of this antichrist culture, in the midst of this chaos and insanity, whether it be with Peter that he's sitting with at this time or Paul, both were recipients of God's grace. One was a religious zealot that killed Christians. That would be Paul, who was Saul before God saved him. And one was one who said, I would never deny you, Peter, to Jesus. Even if all these other men who are following you deny, I will never deny. And didn't just do it once, but did it twice in one evening. Both recipients of grace. He went out and wept bitterly. He failed Jesus greatly, just like John Mark failed Jesus' servant Paul. And maybe he's sitting with one of them at this time. As he's writing these things, he says, the good news of Jesus Christ. How God became man and stepped onto the scene, stepped into time, space, and matter. Took on human flesh, never forfeiting his deity, but adding to it humanity. Born of a virgin, never sinned, yet died the sinner's death. Took my failings upon him, my mishaps, my embarrassment, my shame, my guilt, and he bore it upon that tree. He became my very sin for me so that I can have in exchange God's righteousness and my sins can be cast into the depths of the sea. Oh, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Certainly, I'm a recipient of that myself, so I'm passionate about what's being written here. It is the beginning of that that I want to speak to you of, Rome, Mark would say.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.